to welcome everybody to Parshas Chukas at our Lunch and Learn. And I'd like to just tell you that this year we have dedicated ourselves to studying the writings and the teachings of Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, who wrote in Hebrew multi-volume set called Michtav Me Eliyahu, Letters from Eliyahu. And recently it has been translated. It's in the process by the Feldheim Company under a different name, Strive for Truth. Rav Dessler taught for many, many years, decades, in different yeshivas, originally in England and then in Israel. And his devoted students, a few of them, took it upon themselves to transcribe his teachings, his oral teachings. And they took notes, and then they wrote them down into a few volumes. I had the great privilege for 1 year to study under one of those disciples of Rav Dessler, who is the editor of some of the volumes, Rabbi Chaim Friedlander, of blessed memory, who's passed away now. And it was very eye-opening hearing. I didn't even appreciate who he was and what that he was a student of Rav Dessler at the time. Rav Dessler spoke about many different topics, some of which are on the weekly Parsha, but in general, it was topics dealing with Musar. Musar is a character development. Looking into the Torah for specific purpose of learning how to improve our character, how to become more of an Eved Hashem, a servant of God in what we do. And seeing the Torah not as a history book, which we all agree on, but really looking for the lesson and the practical impetus for change and for growing in our service of Hashem. So what we've decided to do, since there's not always something on the Parsha, is to take a topic that may relate in some way to the Parsha. Well, Parsha's Chukas has an entry in the weekly Parsha section. It's only one of two in the book of Bamidbar, so we're fortunate this week. But the topic that he spoke about in Parsha's Chukas, it's not so clear that it's a theme of the Parsha. In fact, it's a very important general topic, and he does have references from the Parsha. But it's one would not think that the Parsha is about this. The topic that he spoke about was the topic of Aseh Lecha Rav, which means it's a phrase taken from Pirkei Avos, make for yourself a Rav or a teacher. The importance of learning from a source of learning. And that doesn't mean a book. People learn information from books, but they really learn what he says, two things. They learn from life, and they learn from teachers. The way to learn from life is not so easy, because learning from life presupposes that you believe that what happens in life is something deliberate, and there's somebody teaching you, and it's not just random. If life is just a series of random occurrences and fortunes and misfortunes, how much are you going to learn from that? If I won the lottery once, am I going to learn from that that I have to buy another ticket and then I'll win again? If it's random, we're limited. If things happen to me in life, misfortunes befall me. If I believe that everything in the world happens randomly, then all I do is I get disheartened or upset or frustrated or whatever, and I try to pick myself up and brush myself off and try to go on with life. But did I learn anything from that experience? Perhaps, but perhaps not. The truth is, if a person was really in tune with Hashem and with divine providence, one would find every moment of life a teacher. Every moment of life is a teacher. And it's really Hashem is the teacher. And He's trying to communicate with us and trying to teach us with every single thing that happens in our lives.
You're our in-between person then.
Well, that's very rare, to find a person that can really look at life as his teacher and Hashem communicating through him through life. To him through life. Well, the next best thing is to aseh lecha rav, is make yourself a teacher. And a teacher is someone that may have made himself more of a student of life, maybe by virtue of age or wisdom, or someone that learned from another teacher who imparted upon him the lessons of life through the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem. But one way or the other, life is opportunity to learn. And ultimately, to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to learn about God, and to learn how we can connect to God, which is our ultimate purpose in life. For some reason, Rav Dessler found it fitting to teach the lessons of Aseh Lecha Rav, making for yourself a teacher, in Parshas Chukas. I'm not sure what set off that idea, but I'd like to present to you three references to the Parsha and how each reference brings out a new lesson or a new insight in the importance of learning from a teacher or learning from life. The first reference to the Parsha that he brings is extremely hidden. It does not jump out at you at all. In fact, even after I explain it to you, we'll still be probably scratching our head and saying, huh? But this is Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler was a master. He was in touch with both the revealed teachings as well as the hidden teachings, and he brings out depth and insights into the Torah which are incredible and amazing. There is in the Parsha in chapter 21 verse 16 where the Torah describes the Be'er, the well, that accompanied the Jewish people in the desert. And in connection with this well, it says in the next verse that Israel sang a song of the well. Okay, it says here in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Az Yashir Yisrael Es Hashira Hazos Ali Ve'er Enula. Then Israel sang this song, Come up, O well, call out to it, and continues to praise the well, which is really praising God for the well. But those are the words. Then Israel sang the song, Come up, O well, call out to it. I believe it's the Midrash that notices the difference between this song and another song. There's not that many songs in the Torah. Az Yashir Yisrael sounds like another song. Anybody recognize?
Morning.
Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Es Hashira Hazos Lashem. Then Israel, Moshe and Israel sang the song
at the Red Sea.
Song to Hashem. There's that song that's in Parshas B'Shalach, and then there's this song. There they sang the song praising God for the miracle of the splitting of the sea, and here they sang the song praising God for the well that provided water. The Midrash notices some very, very significant differences between, discrepancies between the two songs. There it says, Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Es Hashira Hazos. Then Moshe and Israel sang the song. Here it says, Oz Yashir Yisrael. Then Israel sang. It does not mention Moshe. Also, in that song, in the Song of the Sea, they said, Ashira Lashem, Ki Ga'oga'a. I will sing to God, because He is exalted. It says the name of Hashem in the song. Here, it doesn't say the name of Hashem. So the Midrash asks, why? Why is Moshe's name not there? Why is Hashem's name not there? And the Midrash answers with somewhat of an analogous reason. Somebody once invited a king to a seuda, to a feast, and the king asked, is so-and-so going to be there? And they said no. And that was his big, good friend. He says, well, if my friend isn't going to be there, I'm not going to be there either. And so the Midrash kind of answers like in a riddle. That's why Hashem's name is not mentioned in the song, because Moshe's name is not mentioned in the song. But what's the meaning of that? And why wasn't Moshe's name mentioned in the song? So Midrash says Moshe's name wasn't mentioned because Moshe failed to reach the high level of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine spirit and divine inspiration, when he observed the well, because the well had been the source of strict judgment for him. It was because of the well, the incident that you mentioned, of the hitting of the rock, that Moshe was lost his opportunity to enter the land. And therefore, this well associated to him the Midas HaDin, the attribute of justice, and as such, he was unable to rise to the level, the same level of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine spirit that he had at the Song of the Sea. Okay? So that's why Moshe's name is not mentioned. Why is Hashem's name not mentioned? Because if Moshe's name is not mentioned, if Moshe's not in the song, then Hashem is not going to be in the song either. Again, what does that mean? Why? So here's Rav Dessler's first lesson on Aseh Lecha Rav, make yourself a teacher. The reason why the Jewish people could not sing a song on the high level of full recognition of Hashem is because their teacher didn't do that. Whatever a teacher doesn't comprehend, whatever levels of insight, of inspiration, of wisdom a teacher does not attain, the students will not attain either. Because the student's source of wisdom, the student's source of inspiration is their teacher. That's the valve, and that's what it comes through. And whatever is lacking from the teacher is going to be lacking from the student.
The students, don't they leave that teacher and they go on and pass?
Yes, that's true. A person can make different routes for them, but the common thread is that the wellspring of the teacher provides the water for the student, and it's limited to that. This lesson, therefore, would really be a directive to the teacher, that the teacher has to realize the responsibility of imparting to the student, that the student is counting on the teacher to provide wisdom, to provide insight and inspiration. And if the teacher does not provide that, or does not attain it himself, then he's not going to be the only one that's going to lose that contact, but all of the followers as well. That is the dynamic of learning through a Rav, which is our primary source. And that's something to keep in mind as well. It's also a lesson for the student to decide who to make his teacher, because a student will only be able to extract from the teacher what the teacher possesses. So that's lesson number one from the story of the song of the well. Lesson number two. After the incidences, a couple of incidents in the Parsha, the Jewish people started to travel. And when they traveled, they encountered several nations. They even got into a war with the Canaanites, with the Canaanites. The sages tell us that is the it was really the Amalekites who were disguised. So in chapter 21, it says that the Canaanite king of Arad, who dwelled in the south, heard that Israel had come by the route of the spies, and he warred against Israel and took a captive from it. Israel made a vow to Hashem and said, "If you will deliver this people into my hand, I will consecrate their cities." Meaning, if you give us, God, Israel said to Hashem, if you give us victory over this people, we will take all of the spoils of war, which we would normally take for ourselves, and we will give it to you, we will give it back to you. We will use it for a service in the temple, the tabernacle. It will be, we will not take personal gain from it. Hashem heard the voice of Israel, and he delivered the Canaanite, and it consecrated them and their cities. Israel consecrated the Canaanites and their cities. It named the place Chorma. Now, what's the meaning of the word Chorma? Chorma is the same word for consecrated property. Earlier they said, if you give us victory, we will consecrate their cities, the Haharamti. And because their vow was to consecrate, they named the city Chorma, which is consecrated. Why did they name the city Chorma? Now, it's cute. We consecrated the city, so the city is called consecrated. That's cute. Rav Dessler says there's a very important lesson here. The important lesson is that whenever we learn something, whether it be from life, whether it be an experience such as this, in which the people came closer to God because they found themselves in trouble, and they cried out to Him, and they devoted themselves, and God responded, and they thus learned how God responds to their call. That's a lesson that they learned from their teacher of life and God's communication. But that's a lesson that is here today and could be gone tomorrow. We all know that when one learns something and is very inspired, that inspiration doesn't last forever. You know? Next day, you may forget about it. The way to make it last, the way to make the teachings permanent, is to, what Rav Dessler calls, hammer some nails into the lesson. Make it a fixture. Make it something that's part of you. This is the explanation why, throughout the Torah, cities, and in fact, even people's names, are sometimes inspired by events. You know, think of the tribes, how Rachel and Leah chose names for their children based on the way they felt that God had answered their prayers or whatever. It's why are they doing that? It's not just something cute, but it's actually the idea that when you learn something, make it concrete, so that you will always remember, and that the impact that the lesson has will stay. The impact will stay strong.
Stay with us?
Stay with us. You know, when I was in yeshiva and the Rebbeim used to talk, they used to always say, if you've learned something, if it inspired you, do something about it. Make a difference. Accept something upon yourself to do a good deed. To something small, but something that will be concrete, something that will create a lasting impression. This is lesson number two of Rav Dessler about learning. That when you learn something, it's here today and it'll be gone tomorrow unless you make it concrete. That's the lesson of calling the name of the city Chorma. whenever the Jewish people will pass by that city, they will have that association. They will say, yes, that was the day, or that was the incident where we found out just how much God listens to us. And there's many ways that we in our own lives can concretize lessons that we've learned, whether it be from life experiences or whether it be from teachers. So that's lesson number two. Lesson number one is the teacher is the source of the learning of the student. What the teacher doesn't have, the student will not have access to either. Lesson number two is lessons that are learned must be concretized in order for their impression to be lasting. Lesson number three. Now here comes the story that Steve alluded to. The famous story of Moshe and the rock. The way that the narrative reads is that Hashem told Moshe, Miriam had just passed away, and the Jewish people, I'm on page 842. We're going backwards, actually, but this is the way it's the way the Rav Dessler brings it. Miriam had just passed away, and the Jewish people found that their water was gone. They didn't realize that the well that had gone with them for 40 years was in her zechus, in her merit. They came to Moshe, and they started to realize it's because we lost Miriam. So Moshe turned to Hashem, what can I do? And he said, take your staff, gather everyone together, you and your aunt Aaron, speak to the rock in front of everyone, and it will give forth water again. And you will give them water to drink. Moshe took the staff from before God, like he commanded him. He gathered the people, Moshe and Aaron gathered the people towards the rock, and he said to them, listen now, rebels, shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock with his staff twice. Abundant water came forth, and the assembly and their animals drank. Moshe and Aaron were chastised right after this. You didn't believe in me. You didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you will not bring them into the land. What did they do wrong? God said, take the staff, bring forth water from the rock. That's what they did. So, most of us are familiar with the explanation of Rashi. I think it's summarized here. God had commanded Moses to speak to the rock that had given water before, but he could not find it. He spoke to a different rock, but nothing happened. Let me say it over in my own words, so I understand Rashi to be saying. That Moshe said, okay, I have to speak to the rock, even though I'm holding the staff, but I'm going to speak to the rock. He spoke to the rock, but it wasn't the right rock. And so nothing happened. So he didn't think that it was the wrong rock. He thought that maybe speaking wasn't adequate. So he remembered, 40 years earlier, God had commanded him to hit the rock. And that's what he did, and the water came out. So he said, maybe I'm supposed to hit the rock, just like the first time. He did tell me to take the staff. And so he hit the rock. Only a few drops came out. It was the right rock. Only a few drops came out. So he hit it again. Now really, that was supposed to be a warning. This isn't the right way, Moshe, speak. But he hit it harder. And now the water came out. It's great, the kids love it. But what's the idea? What's the meaning? He spoke to the rock. Why was it the wrong rock? If it was the wrong rock that he spoke to, why wasn't it the wrong rock that he hit? There may be other explanations, but Rav Dessler says the following. The rock was Moshe's Rav. It was his teacher. The rock was supposed to teach him a lesson. The lesson is that when you use words, God's will can be fulfilled. If you use the right words, then we can fulfill God's will. And somehow Moshe didn't totally believe the power of words. to that highest degree. He remembered how previously he had to hit the rock to get the water to come out. And so he lacked a little bit of confidence in the speaking method. He had some doubt. And therefore, God hid the rock from him. Because he didn't really trust it. He didn't really trust his teacher. And therefore, the teacher didn't provide the lesson. Rather, he trusted in the hitting of the rock. That's what he put his trust in. And because he put his trust in the hitting of the rock, God said, if that's what you want to learn from, if you want the hitting of the rock to be your teacher, then it will be your teacher. Okay, it sounds a little deep. What's the idea here? The idea is, says Rav Dessler, the lessons that your teacher will teach you are only as strong as the amount of trust and value that you put in your teacher. It's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. If you hold your teacher in high esteem, if you believe that your teacher is a provider of wisdom, is a conduit towards the wisdom of the teachings of the Torah, of Hashem, if you put your faith and your trust in the teacher, he will teach you. He will produce great lessons for you. He will raise you to levels that you couldn't have imagined. But if you minimize the value, the respect, the impact of that teacher, if you're skeptical, if you doubt him, if you question his integrity, or if you question his authority or his authenticity, then he will not provide teaching for you. Then what you will get out of him will be dry. The effectiveness of a teacher is not just from the teacher, it's from the student. The student has to really open up the valve, and then the water will, then the teaching will come forth. It really depends on the teacher, on the student. Moshe didn't open himself up to learn the lesson of the speaking, and therefore that lesson was closed off for him. This is a very major point in the idea of Aseh Lecha Rav. One has to, number one, find a teacher that the student will see as a true source of teaching. Like the Talmud says, Kimalach Hashem, like an angel of God, like a messenger. An angel is a messenger. If you see your teacher as a messenger of God to bring forth the wisdom from on high, filtered down into our experience, then he will be that teacher. Number two, you have to want to learn. You have to want to listen to the lessons of the teacher. You have to respect the teacher, but you also have to have the desire to learn the lessons of the teacher. And then he will teach you. But if you don't open yourself up to the teacher and you don't open yourself up to the lessons, then the source will be dry. So many lessons we have. Again, I don't know why Rav Dessler chose Parshas Chukas. Maybe there is a lot in the dynamics of Moshe and the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is of course our Rav, our teacher, and maybe he saw in Parshas Chukas some of the dynamics of Rav and Talmid, of teacher and student. But whatever the case may be, in this particular essay that he delivered, or talk that he delivered, he brings out very important points in the dynamics of learning, that the primary source of learning he maintains nowadays is through the teacher, and that the number one, the teacher has to see the responsibility of providing that, being that source to the students, and whatever he lacks in his understanding will be transmitted to the student. The student has to be willing to make the teacher a respected and a valued source of learning, and to desire the teaching, and then that teaching will come forth. And one, and going out of order, and the middle point was that whatever lessons we do learn, we have to realize have to be concretized so that the teachings will have a lasting effect on us. Amir Tashem, we should derive lessons from these words and these parshas on the importance of really a lifelong pursuit of learning.
Right.
Thank you.